Blog Talk Radio.
Young man goes out looking for the diamond in the sea. Old man rows, going to shore for 20 feet. And you drown before the water.
Sean Daly on TV for March 26, 2015. And we're live from Las Vegas here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank everybody who's joining us live. And, of course, thank everybody who's joining us on the podcast and archives. Thank you all very much indeed. And we're here talking TV. And actually, you know, not all TV, just TV that I like, TV that I'm watching, and TV news that's news to me. So this is all about me, so you know. well, it's my show, right? The opening theme was from Bloodline, which is an excellent new series on Netflix. I'm 3 episodes into this. It is a fantastic show. I still have a thing with Netflix running all, you know, putting up all the episodes all at once, because then you have so much a long layoff for the second season. I got 13 episodes. I've already blown through 3 of them. I'm trying to pace myself now, and it's not easy, because especially Bloodline. Bloodline pulls you in and just does not let you go. The storytelling is very reminiscent of Damages, some of the same producers. Is a spectacular series set in Key West. I don't think there's ever been a series based in, Glades, Everglades, but I mean, I don't think there's ever been a series in my memory, modern memory, set in Key West before, but amazing, great cast. Kyle Chandler, of course, is you know, billed as the big star of the show. Kyle Chandler is wonderful. John Rayburn, the sheriff of Key West, and Ben Mendelsohn, he's Danny Rayburn, and he's like this black sheep's son's come back, and there's some flashbacks and everything else. He was beaten by his father, which was played by Sam Shepard. So all the stuff is going back and forth between flashbacks and flash forwards and everything else. I mean, very similar to the Damages way of doing a series. I think it's great. Sissy Spacek is great. She stars as Sally, it's an amazing series. Sam Shepard plays the father. He does a great role in this series as well. So a great cast. Eric O'Bannon, he's played by Jimmy McShane. He's like the ne'er-do-well. Friend of Danny's, and he's leading down the primrose path to some trouble. Chloe Sevigny, who's going back to American Horror Story, the hotel version, she's on the show as well. So it's a great cast. And, this family and Meg Rayburn, Linda Cardellini's character, nobody's good enough for her. She plays a little slutty character on the show. She's it's my first impression. She's a slutty little character. So I don't know, but it's a good series. If you're looking for a good series, it's on Netflix. Bloodline is absolutely fantastic. They have Kyle Chandler's character John is suffering from high blood pressure and different problems. You got a brother. And Kevin, and he's a hothead, and but voiceovers and flashbacks, flash forwards. It's a great series. This is a series you have to pay attention to. Bloodline, you have to pay attention to what's going on, because you go back and forth, flash forwards, flashbacks. It's amazing. Sam Shepard, he's on Rabbit Robert Rayburn. Yeah, he's on the show as well. So we'll see. See, I'm three episodes into a 13-episode series. If you know you're right, you know somebody, one of the main characters is in the hospital. Is this person going to live or die? A lot of the future of the hotel they have, the little bed and breakfast called the Rayburn House, is that who's going to get that? You see Meg playing games with the will because her father said to change the will and cut Danny out of the will. She's up there doing it, and she's trying to get him to sign the new will. He's not in his right mind. He's calling her, Sally, and so he's not in his right mind. She's a lawyer. She can't really have him sign it because he's not in his right mind. And see her hopping in bed with a big hotel mogul in Key West. So she's in bed with him. She's supposed to be engaged to Marco Diaz, who works with John is in the police department. So it's all these intertwined. It's like a Dallas, but does done damages style. I mean, it's we'll see what happens with this. I believe they will renew it. This series getting a lot of buzz, especially about Ben Mendelsohn's portrayal of Danny. I already heard him. He's in line being the next the Star Wars Solo movie, not part of the sequel, like a solo Star Wars movie. He's supposed to be in line to be on that. So we'll see what happens. So, Sean, I can't believe you're only three episodes in. Well, I have a life. Everybody knows I'm kind of doing my thing with work and changing jobs, working jobs. But it's a 13-episode series. I can burn myself out on all 13. I mean, wait a year to wait for more episodes. That's a problem everybody has watching these binge-watching. They go through the 13 episodes and, oh, my God, I can't wait to wait so long for the next season. Well, hello. You didn't watch all in 2 days. You have 13 episodes kind of tied you over. 13 weeks of a show, and then shorter, the wait for a new season is shorter. I hear it all the time for the binge. I can't believe it's only 13 episodes of the series. What am I going to do? Well, your own fault. You watch all 13 episodes in 2 days, 13 weeks like we're supposed to. Granted, I got myself into it because I watched the first three episodes in 2 days, but I'm going to space it out. Like I said, I'm waiting until this Friday to watch the next one. I'm going to slowly watch the rest of the season of Bloodline on Netflix. Sarah saying, I think John's a murderer. We don't know what went on there because he says they're good people, but they did a bad thing. Whatever that means, we'll see what happens with that. Sissy Spacek looks old. She's not a spring chicken. Hello, Luther. She's not a spring chicken. Hello, Sissy Spacek. She's got to be. Let me find her. She was Laura Lynn in the old movie. Remember, she's 1949. She's what else? She 65 years old. So she's up there. I think for the show, she had her look a little older because she plays Kyle Chandler's mother. So she had to make her look older, I believe. Just my guess. Kevin was a hothead, wanted to beat up his brother at every turn and all that, really suspicious of him. They show what happened to Robert, a little incident, and Robert ends up going to the hospital, and Danny was involved with it, and everybody thought he was a killer, going to kill Dad. I can't believe he did this to Dad. What did you do to Dad? I did nothing to Dad. So you know, flashback, they corrected that, they were not correct, they showed us what really happened at the beach. We'll see what happens. We'll see. Aaliyah on Twitter is hoping to see more of Ben Rayburn. Ben is John Kyle Chandler's son in the series as well. So he's going to be the heartthrob of the season, maybe the second season as well. So we'll see. It's an excellent show. Excellent show. I really like Bloodline on Netflix. Hopefully if you can do it. First of all, just say first time I actually signed up for Netflix, I thought, oh, but seeing a series with SpaceX and Sam Shepard and Kyle Chandler and all them, it demands you have to watch it, I think. It's a solid cast, and I'm watching it right now, Bloodline on Netflix. There you go. Let's see, what else? How about Downton Abbey? The big news about Downton Abbey, you know, everybody who listens to the show knows, I said this, how long ago did I say this now? Month ago or so, that Downton Abbey after the sixth season is going to be it. Mostly it's because Maggie Smith says after this year, the upcoming season, she's done. How are they going to go on without the main star of the show? The main star of the show. And I know NBC wants Julian Fellowes to get going on Gilded Age, even though I'm sure they said they'd wait. But sure, come on, how many years has it been? So Downton Abbey, this upcoming sixth season is going to be it. And, but I think a wrap up a cliffhanger. Who knows? They're also in talk now, according to Variety, at Deborah Birnbaum's article in Variety, that they're going to work on possibly a spinoff. And they go, why wouldn't you? Spinoff possibilities from Downton Abbey. So we'll see. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go ahead and spin off. Let's see. They spoke to Variety about what's next of a franchise. Well, much has been rumored. All involved say it's just an idea. There are no firm plans. You're talking about a feature film. We can't guarantee it's even going to happen, Gareth Neem. Julie and I would be very happy to do it if the opportunity comes along. Now that we're at the beginning of the end of the TV show, we can start to think about it. Potential spinoffs. The team at PBS say they're always talking about it. There are no firm plans, and we have a hit. Why wouldn't you? Maybe you want to do a spinoff because it'll dilute the original show. You lose the special feel you get from the Downton Abbey to a spinoff. What if it's not as well accepted as Downton Abbey? I think the whole is the attraction to the show versus the parts. You have your Bates, but you also need your Carson, Mrs. Hughes, you need everybody in the show, Mrs. Padmore, you need all these people on the show to make the show what it is. It's not just about one or two characters, it's all the characters together. If the combined synergy, the energy of all these characters together, I think makes Downton Abbey Downton Abbey. Anyway, Eaton says, when you have a hit, why wouldn't you? Eaton's the PBS executive producer, masterpiece executive producer. Why wouldn't you? The Bateses and all that. You followed Tom to the States. Maybe that might work. Send the States, with Cora's mom and brother and all that. Some kind of connection to the show. The Downton Abbey guys can pop over if they're gonna do a spinoff. Making the most sense. Put in New York City in 1925, or as they say in the show, and go from there. So Gilded Age, yada yada. I put the whole link to Deborah Birnbaum's article from Variety into the chat room. Yeah. Review again. I've just been working. I've been working an awful lot. So that's where I've been. I've been doing my thing. What else have I been watching? Well, I've been watching a lot. There you go. There it is. I'll say some articles I want to read as well. Not all of it, part of it. And what else have I been watching? Well, I've been watching, of course, Broadchurch is back. That's excellent. The Return on A&E. Basically, it's almost, as far as I can tell, it's a carbon copy of the French version, which is translated English subtitled on the Sundance Jam, which is fine for me. Like seeing Aaron Douglas on there from Battlestar. All the other cast members. What's her name from Battlestar? Kane. See her in there. It's a good show, but to me, I haven't seen a single thing that's separating this show from the French version that was subtitled English on Sundance. But I'll watch it. I continue to watch it as long as it airs. Let's see. I like The Return. We think of the bus crash. The bus crash is the same kind of bus crash we saw in the French version. This was a school bus. The Airbus on the French version was more like a Greyhound type bus, a coach bus. This is a school bus. Well, same thing, whoop-de-doo. It's a great cast, don't get me wrong, but it's almost an exact carbon copy of the French version of The Return, in my opinion only. Better Call Saul, I'm watching Better Call Saul. It's pretty good. I think this week they're set to coming up on Saul's big case. It's supposed to throw him into the forefront unless the partners of Hamlin and McGill, Hamlin and McGill steal the case away from him. So that's supposed to be coming around. It's a good show. It's funnier than Breaking Bad, of course. But I don't know. It just doesn't have the. I don't know what is it about it. It's just missing the down the downtown, the Breaking Bad. Oof. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's good. I mean, but it just seems like I keep looking around. What is this? Where Walter White's going to come into the scene, or Jesse? I know it's a prequel. But you keep seeing it. You see these same characters, and you're missing the other ones. I mean, Where's Skyler? Where's Walt Jr.? Where's he? I mean, it's a prequel, I know, but I have a hard time saying this is a prequel. This is not to Breaking Bad, but I can't help looking for those characters to pop up in my mind. It's good, but just not the energy that I think I liked seeing in Breaking Bad. Also, Life or Death Struggle, Walter White had. Of course, he was dying of cancer, and of course, you know, life and death struggle with the drugs and Tuco and all that. But it's pretty good. Also, The Royals. The Royals, I think, is a good show. It's on E. It's an excellent show. It's like a Gossip Girl meets Dynasty meets Melrose Place, something like that. It is, these characters are crazy. and seeing Joan Collins show up last week, I wish she'd show up some more. I hope she will. She adds a little Dynasty campiness to the whole thing. But they're all good characters. I mean, it's amazing. Octavia and Ophelia is going to battling this blonde over Liam's heart and all that stuff. Prince William talked to his father about he's the king and keeping the monarchy going, so he can prove he can fall in love and be a king. Where his father wants to disband the monarchy. Of course, to see Queen Helena. She was rolling around. Well, did she end up going to bed with this soldier guy from last? I don't know. I thought they were going to go to bed. He comes in and out of her room in a secret door. Or what is that all about? I don't know. And we see who else? Oh, Cyrus. Yeah, Cyrus is a little himbo, isn't he? First of all, he got one of the maids to give him a blowjob last week. This week, he hops in bed with some business guy. So what is he? I don't know. Bisexual? You know, gets his way. He'll do whatever he has to. I'm not sure. Interesting characters. His two daughters, the ditzes show up. Princess Maribel and Princess Penelope. And interesting characters as well. The whole show is just a fun. Some drama, some silliness, some campiness from. It's the campiness from Dynasty meets the Gossip Girl. The young people and their drama meets Melrose Place. I don't know. It's a nice little mix of characters, I think. So we'll see who. I like Princess Eleanor. She's a good character. She reminds me of Fallon on Dynasty. Yeah, do you watch Dynasty? Yeah, Fallon. Yeah, she reminds me of Fallon. Hooking up with this supposed to be a bodyguard for her. Turns out he's filming her. Having sex and all that, and starting to turn into a porn star. It's already been renewed, so it's gonna be around. So it's a good show. It'd be a good show if you watch a show that's not so doesn't take itself all that seriously. The Royals is for you. So, Sean, you're gonna watch the final episodes of Mad Men? Oh, I guess I will. I will. I mean, everybody's saying it's the greatest show, TV series in the history of TV. Really, it is. What the ratings never were on the blown up for that show, for a series that's supposed to be the greatest drama in history of television. I mean, what the heck? To me, they said it changed TV forever. Really, it did. I don't think it changed TV forever. What's on TV these days? The apocalyptic series. So you got to give that nod towards who? Towards Lost, towards Jericho, towards I don't know. That's what Mad Men. I haven't seen any 60s. Ad shows on TV. What they tried to tanked out. What was that show? I don't even remember now. It was a show a couple years ago, and where was it? It didn't do too well in the ratings as well. Mad Men's a good show, don't get me wrong, but kind of the storyline just drags. And, is it the greatest series of all time? Is it change TV forever? Depends who you talk to. Me, I'll say no. Again, the shows that change TV forever, I said, are look at what's on. Look at the epic sci-fi series. 12 Monkeys. They could creed probably go to Battlestar for its drama. Look at The 100 and what they've done. A lot of that can be traced back to Battlestar. High stakes, high drama, kill people off. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it depends who you talk to. Is it the greatest series of all time? Mad Men? No, in my opinion. Is it a good show? Maybe yes. The ratings never did blow up. I think AMC was saying they were. Oh, it's a great series. It's coming to an end. You can't compare Mad Men to Breaking Bad. I mean, hello. Can't compare Mad Men to The Walking Dead. I mean, look at that. That spawned a whole bunch of new shows from the zombie popularity. Look at the Z Nation. You have High Zombie. You have Babylon Fields. They tried with that twice and didn't do it. But I mean, they keep trying these zombie shows. Because it's so hot, And what the heck happened to Rick Grimes last week? He flipped out or what? He went schizo. Now they're going to throw the hell out of Alexandria on next week, probably the 90-minute finale. Who's going to die? Is it Glenn? I'm going to say Glenn's a goner. I don't know. We haven't seen Maggie. She's been sick or something. So, you know, will they kill him off or kill her off? Will they kill Carol off? I doubt they'll kill Carol. I need a couple of the originals hanging on, I think. But maybe they will kill Glenn off. I mean, maybe around things to do with the character. Who knows? But they got in a fight with that group, with their name's husband, and they got in a hell of a fight, and they're going to throw him out of Alexandria. Even Carl tried to get his dad to stop. He shoved him away. So, and did you watch that Talking Bad? The first time ever Carl, the actor, was on a talk show. So good for him. Good for the kid. I think so. So what else? What else am I watching? Let me see here. Broadchurch, yeah, I like Broadchurch. It's very good. The Americans, I'm two episodes behind on the Americans. I'm trying to get the 12 Monkeys. 12 Monkeys is amazing, amazing. The whole thing with Cole. They're gonna get back to 2015 with Cassie or not. I mean, he was thrown to Chechnya. He went too far into the future. 2 weeks ago, the series has bounced between three different timelines. Went to like 2043, 2041. 2015 and bouncing about. Then went to 1987 this week and bouncing about. And man, it's a great time travel show. I mean, how they can juggle all this? You see different Coles, different Ramses, a different version of Jones and all that. Now Jones, sometimes she can be the villain of the show now. She said, "Tell them, you know, get the serum back to us. Send Cole back in time." He goes, "Well, that means killing Ramsey." And she goes, get the shots back, get the medicine they need to inject Cole with it. Then Ramsey goes, injects himself with it, and hops in the machine, off he goes. So where the hell is Cole? Where is Ramsey at now? I have no idea. It's a great series. I also have the sound clips from that. Let's see. Here's episode 10 recap here. Let's see. Here we go. On 12 Monkeys on Sci-Fi.
With Cole off in 2015, Ramsey torches the temporal facility, then runs off to his new hangout.
And I got this.
What is that?
They put in his blood before he goes in the machine.
But if they get that back, they'll just try again. They'll stop the plague, make it so that we never meet. Sam is never born.
We're gonna be long gone.
Cole lands in 2015.
You can't be here.
No one is happy to see him.
Nice to see you too.
It's not over.
No, it's not.
The virus is still out there, and the world is still going to end.
How is this still happening?
Because it was never just Leland. It was Oliver Peters. He was at the CIA during Operation Troy. He gave them the virus.
We need to find him.
But Aaron's done being cold-blocked.
The fact that he's here, again, you have no idea how to stop this.
And even Cassie's getting jaded.
Peters is recreating M510 for the 12 monkeys. He'll need animals to test it on. CDC can get a list of suppliers, and then I'll be able to track him down. Just like the Big Burn and the Night Room. Then Splinter, Apocalypse, rinse, repeat.
Cole splinters to 2043 with some new info.
I know where Leland Goins got the origin of the virus. Tokyo. November 21st, 1987. A nightclub called the White Dragon.
But the time jumping and the news of Ramsey's rampage is taking its toll.
How could he do this?
James!
Meanwhile, Ramsey runs into a mysterious traveling lady gang with a familiar symbol.
The Daughters. At least that's what they call themselves.
And a familiar leader.
12, not primary.
Why are you telling me about the army of the 12 monkeys?
Monkeys.
Instead, she gives him a gift.
It's yours. You're gonna need it later.
Open up!
Jones's men make a move, but things don't turn out as planned. Ramsey does not take it well.
I'm gonna come back. Promise.
Back in 2015, Cassie recruits Aaron to help her find Peters, the scientist who created the virus.
I can do this alone, but I don't want to. Please don't make me.
And when she does find Peters, he's ready to comply.
Where is it?
In 2043, Ramsey goes all diehard yippee-ki-yay on mofos at the temporal facility.
She took Elena from me.
I'm not gonna let you take my son.
In the melee, he gets trapped in the time machine room.
There's nowhere to go!
But Ramsey has an idea that's just crazy enough to work.
There you go. Recap for episode 10 of 12 Monkeys. It is an epic time travel series. I mean, as much as I like Journeyman, as they call Journeyman, this one is really, you see, it's not doing all too well with Cole. They try to put him in this chamber to get him better, and they had to get him out of it when Ramsey went on his rampage. Ramsey can be the big villain on the show now going forward. Him plotting to get back to Jones, and most of these people are dead because he ran rampage, killing all these people. So who knows what's going to happen now? And seeing Goin show up in the present day on the show with Ramsey, 2043 and all that. So she's still around. We saw Cassie die again in Cole's arms. She's always meant to die in the show. So we'll see what happens with 12 Monkeys. But yes. How's it going to end up? They asked me. I don't know how the season's going to. You got me because they already renewed it. There's got to be some kind of mechanism for a cliffhanger. Maybe she's got the plague and Cassie, and they told him to kill Cole or keep the virus. What are you gonna do? I don't know. And then the Red Forest isn't playing a role in this as well. So that enigmatic woman show up again, Aaron. So I was thinking a spy on Cass and Cole's business doings with that woman and the pallet man. Pallet Man and the enigmatic woman with the dark hair. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? So a great show. Always a twist somewhere here and there. Finishes off with Jones. She's not as Lily White. Sure, it was Lily White. She killed what's his name last week. Zunda Berkeley's character. And to get the core. Need the core to keep the machine going. But is Cole going to die? I always keep wondering, why can't they go somewhere, a couple years past and grab a Cole from there? I guess they can't because he's... Well, now Ramsey's doing. Maybe they can get Ramsey if he comes back to their side to go back get an Eric Cole and bring him forward. I don't know. There's got to be some way they can do that. What else? What do you think? Yeah. What do you think of Vice working with HBO? Can have a newscast. So that ought to be interesting. A daily newscast. HBO and Vice signed a new 4-year deal, and one of the parts in the deal is HBO, Vice will start a daily newscast on HBO. How about that? That should send shockwaves through the news divisions all over the country because Vice has a millennial viewership. Will that transfer over to a nightly newscast? Well, we'll see. Maybe with HBO behind it. So we'll see. Good luck to them at Vice. What else? Fargo. From TV Line, Fargo is going to have Bruce Campbell on the series, the second season, playing Ronald Reagan, because this will be during the Reagan election. And apparently, the coming characters will come in contact with Ronald Reagan on the second season of Fargo on FX. And what else? History is working on a new series, called Nightfall. Nightfall chronicles the actual events leading up to and following the persecution, downfall, and burning at the stake of the Knights Templar on Friday the 13th, 1307. More than 700 years later, Friday the 13th is known as a cursed day because of this event. So there's going to be a series, scripted series, and not a miniseries, a series. So it should be pretty good. From history. So good for them. What else? The Twitter ratings. Yeah, I read about that. Omar is telling me about Hulu. Hulu's getting their own show. Jason Abrams. Digital audience ratings. Goodbye to Glee. Ferrell is late show gold. Let's see. Top 10 from March 16th to the 22nd in Twitter ratings. Number one is The Voice with 22 million tweets. Glee, a second, 10,783,000 tweets. Third is Empire. That season finale, unbelievable. And The Lion, hear me roar. 10,770,000 tweets. American Idol goes on. America's Got Talent, Dancing with the Stars, The Flash, 1.76 million tweets. Arrow, 925,000 tweets. Once Upon a Time, 676,000 tweets. On cable, number one show with the Twitter, Twitter, not just Twitter, it's everybody. It's not even Twitter. It's Facebook, Google, Instagram, and Tumblr, YouTube, and Wikipedia. It's a combination of numbers. Anyway, the number one show in DR ranks is cable is Pretty Little Liars. Number two is Game of Thrones. Third is Top Gear. Fourth is The Walking Dead. Fifth is Key and Peele. Sixth is Dance Moms. Seventh is WWE Raw. Eighth is Impact Wrestling. Ninth is Daredevil. Tenth is Bring It. So, interesting. Interesting numbers there. What you think? What's your feelings on the powers? I don't have PlayStations. I haven't seen it yet. The fair way to watch it. But everybody says it's good and bad. Because they had a couple of the volumes of the of books together to create the series. It's what I've been told anyway. And here's the Hulu story that Marco was talking about. Hulu, according to Deadline Hollywood and Nellie Andreeva, Hulu's going to its first scripted series about faith from Jason Kadams. Hulu is or its first drama series, giving a 10-episode straight-to-series order to The Way, a drama series from Jessica Goldberg, Jason Kadams, and his True Jack production company and Universal TV. The Way examines a family at the center of a controversial faith-based movement struggling with relationships, marriage, and power. Each hour-long episode takes an in-depth look at what it means to choose between the life we live and the life we want. So we'll see about that. Might be pretty good. So we'll see. That's coming from Hulu. The Royals have been renewed for its second season, so they're not going anywhere. Let's see. This is a premiere. 1.4 million viewers, so it's pretty good. The premiere. Let me see if I can find the ratings for the second episode. It's done by the Schwan. That's Gossip Girl. Let me see here. Where have you been? Everybody's having worried, but I've just been working. That's all. What do you think about Nancy Snyderman leaving NBC? I think it's the best move they did because she's that boneheaded move of going out to eat. After she was told don't leave her house. She's the medical correspondent on NBC News, crying out loud. She's the face of NBC News as far as medical stuff goes. Here she is thumbing her nose at the authorities and going to having dinner. She's possibly carrying the Ebola virus. What the hell are you thinking? Well, she left NBC. The right move. They should have fired her for that. What else do we have here? Oh, also, Riley was on Letterman the other day. Here's the audio. We run this.
And then I think of my friend Brian Williams.
From the very beginning, I've said that, we have a sport in the United States called Let's Destroy the Famous Person. And that's what happened to him. And I think that NBC should bring him back. I think they will bring him back.
When this came up, and then people started saying, well, Bill O'Reilly himself may have said things that were exaggerated or untrue, and they had to go back like 30 years.
38 years.
38 years of the Falkland War and to the invasion of Grenada and all things like that. And what I noticed, now is there a difference? Forget that yours are not contemporary necessarily. They have some history to them. But say they had happened within the last year or so, would there have been a difference between the two circumstances?
Only if I didn't, if I did something that wasn't true. And what I did was accurate. Okay, what I said was accurate. So we had a controversy there, and we put forth what my side was. They put forth what their side was. Folks decided. And, it worked out okay for me. I got even more viewers. But the problem is...
So wait a minute. You got more viewers?
Yeah. 20% up.
20% up. Mm-hmm. When people thought you were making stuff up, they started...
But they didn't think that. But they didn't think that because I hit it immediately hard. And I said, look, this is the facts. This is what happened.
Have you ever fibbed on the air?
Fibbed?
Yeah.
Not that I know of. I mean, what I do is analysis different from what other people do. So I bloviate and give my opinion, as you well know. Right. But no, it's not worth it for me to do that.
Still, it comes down to the same thing with you and Brian. While yours is an editorial position,
right.
His is the neutral conveying of the news. trust is the residue of right. both positions. So people must trust you to the same degree. They might disagree with you, but they must trust you
the same way
they trust Brian.
And that's an excellent point. I've been on the air, and I'm in the 19th season now, 15 years at number one. Our ratings now are as high as they've ever been. So I think they do trust me, and I'm glad they do.
There you go. That was O'Reilly talking to Letterman about his, they call it a Brian Williams moment there. Again, you can't compare Brian Williams to Bill O'Reilly. Good. Brian Williams is the newsman, NBC News, NBC Nightly News host, that anchorman. That's Brian Williams. O'Reilly's on Fox. He's an opinionated journalist. That's the difference between these two. You get all these different shows on Fox News, whereas Brian Williams is NBC News, basically. You watch the evening news, and it's Brian Williams. I think NBC should have fired him, too, for what he did. Lying about a RPG attack good grief. They should just show him the door, show Brian Williams the door. You got Lester Holt doing a damn good job. Leave Lester Holt there and groom somebody else for the job if you don't want to keep Lester Holt there. But I think NBC News is going to save face by firing Brian Williams and being done with him, I think. So just the credibility of the network news division's at stake. If they let Brian Williams come back, the joke's going to continue flying. Is he going to learn his lesson and not have delusions of grandeur? I don't think so, but we'll see what happens. Oh, what else is going on? Oh, yes, Fortitude's doing a great job. Liam, oh my God, and Henry goes off. It's Michael Gambon's character. Henry goes off, I believe, to kill himself. So much is going on in this show. I see Frank Sutter beating the hell out of this boyfriend of Shirley's, who's a heavy lady. He kept fattening her up with more food. And then, remember, she something happened to her. She ended up goring her own mother and all that. And now they think that she suffers from the same thing as this polar bear did. I'm forward to it. It killed another male polar bear. And he thinks they came and sliced her skull up and get to her brain. And they think that something's going on. He said maybe Fortitude is not environmentally safe for anybody to live in Fortitude. I always thought it was the woolly mammoth that was just alive. And remember, she opened the door to that woolly mammoth, and was that enough to make her sick? I'm not sure. Is it in the water? Who knows what's going on in Fortitude? See DCI Morton there. He's closing in on the Pettigrew murder with the sheriff Dan. He did it. I mean, he told Henry he did love. We see the governor. Governor told her boyfriend to take a hike. There's a Glacier Hotel deal went down the drain. So a lot of things going on in Fortitude. Let's see, do I have a clip from that? I think I do. Fortitude, where's Fortitude? Fortitude is on Pivot. So far, they have not said anything about bringing the show back, but we'll see. Here's the opening to Fortitude, which I think is a pretty good opening theme song. There you go. Here's a clip from episode 8 of Fortitude.
Thank you. Never found the arm.
Yeah, there wasn't much left of him, was there?
Hungry bear.
But you said he was screaming when you shot him, right?
Well, there was enough left of him for Dad. What is it you're looking for?
Satisfying answers to outstanding questions.
What questions?
Well, it was minus 17 degrees with a wind chill of a further 10 degrees when Bill Pettigrew walked out of town. He was a trained geologist with years of field experience. I would like to know how he walked 7 miles in his shirt sleeves and didn't freeze to death. I'd like to know why he didn't take his gun. And I'd like to know why the floorboards in his room are changed.
You'll have to accept that there's some things we'll never understand.
You confessed to me that you shot him while he was being torn apart.
Yes.
With what caliber rifle?
All police issue rifles are the same caliber.
Yes. I know.
We tried to do something.
There you go. That's the exchange between Tisay Morton by Stanley Tucci's character and Tisay Morton. Great characters, great chess game. I think Morton's figured out that Dan actually killed Pettigrew and just killed him in the hotel room. And I don't know. That's why the floorboards were changed, everything else. So I think so. That's what I think anyway. How about Dig? Anybody watching Dig? Yeah. Dig's excellent. The mystery there is the whole thing with we saw the Avram getting sick, going to Croatia with the red heifer, and Prue doesn't want him to eat. He has a gun. The crew member takes the gun away from him, and I guess he brings him food later on. I thought he was going to kill the heifer and eat the heifer, but they did not. Avram gave the food to Red that the crew member gave him. Billingham has Debbie and Faye take Joshua into town to have some fun. Faye's not happy to include Debbie in all the trouble she caused. Debbie apologizes, but Faye is resentful that she personally had to clean up Debbie's mess. And says that she doesn't have blood in her hands, was clean up Debbie's mess. Original Joshua's blood is on Debbie's hands, not hers. And Debbie's just devastated by how she's the one who killed her son. So Yusuf dressed as a businessman, trying to buy some coins. Well-known collector, Mr. Ingmar. The elusive 12th breastplate stone among Ingmar's antiquities. Ingmar tells him that the price is not for sale. Peter went to Emma's apartment looking for more clues. Delivery man gives papers, comes in, shows up, gives him papers, more clues of what's going on. Debbie goes to a cop looking for help, and Billingham walks in. He's actually working with the cops. It's a pretty good scene. A lot of detail. We saw, this guy get the stone out, and Yusuf runs into the handsome bodyguard for Ingram, and he picks him up at the bar, that kills him, and gets the ID to get the stone out. It's amazing, the breadth of the series. So Dig is excellent on USA Network. So you get a chance to watch Dig. So anyway, what else? Are we done? What else? Oh, yeah. Yes. Also, let's see here. From multi-channel magazine, the stickiest shows ranked by social programs, ranking programs by social engagement. This is from week ending March 1st. Number one is The Walking Dead. Two is The Good Witch. Three is The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Pretty Little Liars is fifth. Six of The Zillion Isles. Who knew that was still on the air? Better Call Saul is ninth. Tenth is WWE Raw. The Fosters is 16th. Mob Wives is 17th. Justified is 20th. So very good. What else? And also, shows like that are, the dark shows are real popular. Yeah, and everybody's sick of the cowboy shows. Something that'll challenge them. Something that will be different than the usual cookie cutter shows we've been seeing on these networks and cable shows and all that. Something different. Try the apocalyptic shows and the Walking Deads and the Teen Wolves and all that doing well. Shannara is going to be another great series on MTV when it comes out. And I feel like it'll be a huge hit. So, but what else? Anything else? Anything else really go? 45 minutes is up already. Wow. All right. Well, we'll do. I'll do better. Oh, Sean, you mentioned a couple weeks ago with the Jericho mention on the Dig promo, and it wasn't in the Dig promo. The making of the Dig is a little mention of Jericho, and a little dee dee dee. I mean, it's a little nod towards us. I'll run it again. Here we go. I'll turn it up just one little notch, and here we go.
In your eyes evaporating, and just the salt starting to form.
The sun came up over Jericho, and it was just like. So hot.
See, that's Jericho Morse. Yeah, hello. But anyway, just me. Just I'm only going to pick that up. But anyway, I think we'll depart now. Dig is a good show. Good, very good show. So, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody who listened live. Thank you, everybody, who listened on the podcast, the archives. And thank you all very much indeed. And in honor of the series concluding, it's going to be concluding after a sixth season. We'll leave you with a Downton Abbey theme. Have a good night, happy viewing, and a pleasant tomorrow.
Nuts.